Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the final edition of the Christian Arcan Andy Hart host one host two WEEI afternoon show. Bittersweet, although I will not be going very far. The Christian Arcan show starts on Tuesday, 6 o'clock, and the new WEEI afternoon show, Ted Johnson, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, begins at 2 o'clock on Tuesday as well. I don't think any of us are going to be in on Monday, right? Monday's the holiday. I think we're all off on Monday.
Yep.
And the new schedule will take shape and launch both of those time slots starting on Tuesday. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to having my own show, my own name on it. That's going to be fun. And I know you're looking forward to working with Ted, Andy, because Ted not only has a great relationship with Mike Vrabel, but has won many Super Bowls and is a man about town around here and the guy that everybody knows and everybody loves. And just so you know.
That is true. I haven't heard a bad word about him.
I worked with Ted a few times. Get ready, because there's going to be a lot of calls of people just calling in to tell Ted how great he is. And you're just going to have to deal with it.
Nope.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
I am cutting people off and dropping them, because I'm going to be in the host one seat. I'm going to have my finger on the button, and I'm going to know how to use the button by that time.
I don't want it.
Day one, we'll just do that. As a group, everybody listening, we'll all acknowledge that Ted, I loved him. He was like what I wanted to be, if we're being honest. I was just 5'9", white middle linebacker in high school, and he was... I was going to get there. I can acknowledge my own shortcomings.
And they are short.
But no, I was a middle linebacker in high school in the old days. And like he was freshly drafted to the Patriots, like badass, coming off the heels of like Vincent Brown. You had him who would like flex carrying his pads. And you're like, what is that on the back of your arm?
I didn't know there were muscles that even existed.
But he's an old school. And it's funny because I think Keith said it to me. What would Ted be in modern football? And I'm going to ask him this at some point. I'm not sure there's a place for him. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. The game has just changed.
Yeah.
And
big, hard-hitting, sort of lumbering linebacker. He wasn't fat. He wasn't slow, but he wasn't, like, fast.
No. You know? And as he said, like, come off the field on third down.
Right.
Well, now, everything's kind of third down.
Right.
Everything's, like, sub-defense.
Like, the best linebackers now, like your Roquan Smiths and guys like that.
Much smaller,
they're
faster,
hybrid players.
Quicker.
Yeah. They're like safeties almost. Yeah.
Marte Mapu, is he a safety? Mm-hmm. Is he a linebacker? Well, there was no questioning whether Ted Johnson was a safety.
Right.
No, he was a linebacker.
Yeah, sure.
And, like, he was in the Brandon Spikes world of, coach, I'll give you, like, this from, you know, the C-gap to the C-gap. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Not quite sideline
somebody
to
else
side
handle
line.
That.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, I'm very much looking forward to this, though, because you said it. I have, other than, he's got an axe to grind with Belichick, that's the only negative I've heard, and that's what they say about me if I dare question anything Belichick did. Other than that, everybody loves him.
Yeah.
I've not heard of people that work with him, fans, people that met, I met him at a bar one night, he was the nicest guy. Everybody loves Ted Johnson.
We did a show at Apex Entertainment. It was me, him, and I think Bedard, the three of us, or maybe Bedard just came on for an hour or something, but it was us. It was us two, and Bedard was there. I forget if he did the whole show or not, but either way, the people lined up. They formed a line just to come up and talk, not even to get an autograph, just come up and say, hey, Ted, I really like you. You're the man. Like, the line stretched all the way around back by the bowling alley, over by the virtual games, around NFL Blitz and the go-karts and everything. It wrapped around the entire facility. Everybody just waiting to say hi to Ted. And the show would start. We'd go back into our thing. They'd stand there patiently looking at us. And then as soon as we go to commercial, Ted, you're the best. Oh, I love you, Ted. You're awesome.
He
Ted.
Is.
It's, it was something
Plus,
else.
He's sort of a, like, I mean, he's just a big, imposing figure. He's mm-hmm. what you think a football player, linebacker looks like. And then for me, there's that little bit of, he's one of the guys I see in those old Patriots blues.
Yeah.
Like, I see that 52, and it's just like, that was part of that era.
Yeah.
And then obviously he spanned it into the Super Bowl era. But when I think of Bledsoe, Ted Johnson, Curtis Martin, kind of that era of the mid-90s.
Law and Bruce.
He's a big part of that.
Molloy was part of it too. Yeah, all those
like,
guys.
Like, that was a fun era. And that was, you know, heyday. I was in high school and a, you know, big-time Patriots fan. Hadn't even gone to college yet. Never mind gotten into the business or all of that.
So how do the Patriots get back to those good times? How do they do it? How
draft
do they,
like that and have players that we just talked about.
That would certainly help. And I think that's what you need to do. You need to draft your way out of this this funk that you're in. You can go out and you can spend money in free agency, and I hope that they do. They have to a certain extent because they got to get up to the floor. But that being said, you can only do so much in free agency. I think we all know that. Even if you have a great free agency class, that only gets you so far. What gets you out of the basement, what gets you out of the crapper, is drafting your way out of it. And they have to do that. They can't fall into being like Cleveland, who sucks every year, and then they pick first, second, or third, and they end up with Tim Couch and Courtney Brown and Trent Richardson and, you know, all these guys other than Joe, not Joe Smith, what the hell was the offensive lineman? The Hall of Fame offensive lineman that they had in Cleveland all those years.
Joe Thomas.
Thank you very much.
You okay?
And Joe Hayden was the other guy. I was thinking of the two Joes, and I couldn't think of either one of their last names. Joe Thomas and Joe
Hayden.
Tried
to think of two. I got none.
In the span of like 25 years, those are the only two good draft picks they had. Braylon Edwards, Kellen Winslow. Like, they picked high in all these drafts, and they whiffed and whiffed and whiffed and whiffed. The Patriots, at the very least, you can say, In the time of this rebuild, doesn't look like they whiffed on the quarterback. It looks like they hit on that. It looks like they got a hit there. But that can't be it. You're picking fourth. You better hit again. You're going to be down there. Even if you're not top 10, you've got to start hitting on these first and second round picks. And this needs to be the year that it starts.
So we joke about it, but let's look at that 1995 draft that brought us Ted Johnson.
Okay.
23rd pick, Ty Law.
Mm.
Pretty good player now.
Pretty good.
Ended up in Canton.
Pretty good.
57th pick.
Good vodka, too.
57th pick, Ted Johnson.
Mm.
Pretty good player.
Pretty,
Pro Bowl middle linebacker.
Good,
74th pick, Curtis Martin. Hall of Fame running back.
Hall of
back.
Famer, yeah.
88th pick, Jimmy Hitchcock. Defensive back.
He played well, Hitchcock was a player,
112th pick, Dave Wallabaugh. Starting center.
I remember him, yep.
So we are now in the, we're five rounds into the draft, and they've all either started, contributed, or, I don't know, gone to Canton.
Yeah.
Multiple Canton guys, multiple team Hall of Fame caliber guys, and then it falls off Dino Filia and Carlos Yancey.
How dare you disrespect Dino Filia in front of me like that?
But let's you liked him?
I don't know.
Let's go to the next
no
year's draft. How about this? 7th pick, Terry Glenn.
Mm.
36th pick, Lawyer Molloy.
Mm.
86th pick, Teddy Bruschi. Heath Irwin came next. He played.
Yep.
Chris Sullivan came next.
Came neck.
Hey. I'm thinking of Ted Johnson, and I just got neck on my mind. Guy's got a massive neck. what?
Nothing.
He's got a big neck.
Exactly. Stiz knows what I'm laughing at. Neck is a term that's used for...
For what?
For...
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Really?
You've never heard that before?
So, like...
Girl gives...
Just...
I don't even want to, yeah.
No. I've heard the thing on top of your neck to describe that.
Yes, but neck is another way to describe it.
Really?
Yes.
And I can't say it.
You look up neck on Urban Dictionary. You'll
see, Andy, they're connected.
It's true.
No, I know, but I feel like...
The neck bone's connected to the head bone.
That's right. All right. Patriots draft, gentlemen. I know this is your last show, Arcan.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He's throwing all caution to him.
So anyway, that necking aside, those are the kind of drafts they need. Because those two drafts were not only the core of the mid-90s rebuild.
Yeah.
They were part of the core of the early dynasty.
Absolutely.
So you did it in 95. Maybe you didn't get the full payoff until 2001, 2003, 2004 in that era. But that was the foundation of a dynasty. And I'm not saying there's another dynasty coming. And I'm not saying you had to get multiple Hall of Famers in one draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's shooting too high. How about multiple starters?
Yeah.
Did they get multiple starters this year?
They did not.
I mean, I guess maybe Layden Robinson's a starter.
He was, but he had to be.
By default.
You know, yeah, right. He was like, still the worst, one of the worst guards in the league. But yeah, Polk, not the player. Caden Wallace was hurt. Robinson, Baker didn't play. Dial was not a starter. Milton was a backup. Bell was a third string tight end. So yeah, I mean, you go down a little bit. Now, Gonzalez, he could be part of something special. We might look back on that draft and say, Gonzalez, that was a big one. Gonzalez and White, I think, could get better. You know, this was sort of a step back and a setback for him this year. Maybe getting coached by a guy like Mike Vrabel brings out the best of Keon White. I certainly hope it does. And, you know, Pop Douglas and Booty were both contributors on the offense this year. I wouldn't say they were good, but no one was good. They were probably the two best wide receivers on the team, I'd say, right? Booty and Douglas?
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. There's
neck has a lot of meanings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
One is slang for killing oneself.
I've not heard that one.
Yeah, and one is an absolute absurd statement.
I'd never heard.
Urban Dictionary has some things on there that, like, so nobody.
You got to be really careful.
Yeah.
I mean, I could mean that's crazy talk or that's what you guys were referring to. I love how third. So yours is number one on the list, what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is the area between your head and your shoulders.
Oh, well.
Do I need the Urban Dictionary for that?
I think that's just the regular
that's
dictionary.
That's just the dictionary.
It's the Oxford. Right, Webster's
traditional
dictionary
meaning.
Has that one, yeah. But with so many drafts, like 2022, that draft is looking like one of the worst they've ever had. The Cole Strange, Tyquan Thornton draft is looking like one of their worst drafts of all time.
Yeah.
The Mac Jones draft not looking great right now, even though Barmore and Stevenson contributed. Barmore, who knows what's up with him, and Stevenson seems like he's on the way out. The Duggar, Uche, Jennings draft, I mean, you got Onwenu out of that, but that's it. And before that's the N'Keal Harry, Juwan Williams, Chase Winovich draft, which, again, yielded you next to nothing. And you want to even go down one more year before that, Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. Michelle's out of the league now. At least he contributed to a Super Bowl. The rest of that draft blows. Bentley. I mean, Bentley's still playing. But, like, these are three or four, maybe five drafts out of the last six that yielded nothing. You don't have starters. You don't have Hall of Famer. You don't have anything.
Right.
I mean, really, two
that brought eight. Starters
set the foundation for what ended up being the greatest run ever. I mean, that's, you know, or the first part of it anyway. Yeah.
And that's usually how it works. Any of those runs, you can do the same thing back in the 70s. The Patriots' heyday in the 70s. They had a couple drafts there where they drafted, like, Hannah, Stanley Morgan, and, like, a bunch of guys that could really contribute. And I think if you looked around most teams that turn it around, the first thing is the quarterback. If you're going to be good, you got to get the quarterback. But, like, Cincinnati, what followed the quarterback or what was in a stretch? T. Higgins,
right.
Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, right? Like, you have to hit that little swerve there, and they haven't even come close. They haven't been, I would say, average, never mind good, or something that could propel you towards a foundational existence.
These last couple of drafts, I feel like everybody has called them the most important draft in the history of the Patriots.
Yep.
That's happened like four or five times
over
the last however many years.
And it's here again.
The Mac Jones draft, that was considered the most important draft ever because now you're going to replace Tom Brady. And then last year's was the most important because it's Gerard Mayo's first year and this is the next step in the Patriots. And now
gotta
this one's going to be the same thing, right? I mean, it's going to be the same thing. You're picking in the top five again. It's going to be a very important draft for you in terms of getting out of this morass that you're in here down at the bottom of the league. And I mean, you know, the pressure maybe has something to do with it. The fact that Elliot Wolf is maybe not the best guy for this job has something to do with it. I'm curious to how this is all going to go. I trust Mike Vrabel that he can go out and coach guys up. I don't know how he is with personnel. So I really don't. I know he likes A.J. Brown. That's promising, I guess. But I don't know how he is with the rest of these personnel guys. I don't know. Tennessee, he didn't leave that team in any sort of great shakes when he was fired from there.
No, but it wasn't just him. And there was personnel questions and people and that whole thing. And then it got personal, I think. There was personnel, and then it got personnel with the owner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that became an issue. You know how they always point back to that Redskins staff, as it was at the time, under Gruden.
Yeah.
And it has all the great coaches, Shanahan, McVay, everybody who's a coach was on that staff, it feels like.
Yes.
Do you think there's a better chance that this personnel group in New England right now, Groh, Wolf, Cowden, like that trio, is like that, and in 5 years, one of them might still be here, and two of them have gone off to run other teams because they rebuilt the Patriots and they got hot under Mike Vrabel and earned their reputation?
Okay,
or this is a too many cooks in the kitchen absolute disaster?
I think it's more likely to be the second thing. Yeah. If it's between those two, I hope it's not an absolute disaster. I'd like to think it's something in between that, but if you're asking what it's going to be more like, do you think they're all going to go off and get a new job and be tasked with leading other teams because they did such a great job here? No.
And people
Based on their past track record, I'd say no.
People like to pounce on you for your negativity, which I generally agree with.
You also do that, yeah.
but in this case, so Matt Groh had power and a crappy draft. He drafted all these Tyquan Thornton's fast and Pierre Strong's fast and all these things didn't work. Okay, so we'll give the power to Elliott Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he went out there and he drafted two linemen, two wide receivers, and out of the four of them, maybe you got one who can play in Laydon Robinson. And now you bring in Ryan Cowden, or the Cowden-Vrabel combo, to pair up with guys who, in the short term, have proven they can't do the job.
Right.
Like, none of this seems on paper like it's going to work. Doesn't mean it can't work. I just would say on paper, logically, if you just got their resumes up and, hey, you guys want to compare notes on what you've done recently, it doesn't really look like it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't. By the way, we have a little bit of news here from today about the offensive coordinator search.
Ooh.
Luke McCown was a guy that was on the list. Adam Schefter today said that McCown is going to stay in Minnesota until he gets a head coach job. So that means
is
no
it Luke
coordinator
or Josh?
Job.
What did I say? I thought it was Josh.
Did I say Luke?
You said Luke.
I think it is Josh. Yeah,
oh, okay.
You're right. It is Josh. My bad.
Now, there are both.
I mix up all the McCowns.
Okay, yeah.
There's another one, too. Isn't there three McCowns?
Well, I think there's a McNown and a McCown.
Ah.
There's two McCowns and a McNown.
Aha.
You got to clean that up before you do a night show. If you're by yourself, who's going to, you know, clean it up for you?
I'm just going to steamroll right
Actually,
past
the
it.
The texters
will
send it in, and then you can read them. Your buddies.
Yeah. I also don't care. McCown, Josh McCown, Luke McCown, whatever his name is staying in Minnesota. He doesn't want to be a coordinator. He's going to stay there until he gets a head coaching job. That's a bit of a gambit, wouldn't you say? Like, you're a quarterback's coach. You think you're just going to go straight to the head coach without having to be a coordinator in between? That's a little bold.
Or does he just not like any of the opportunities
that certainly be that,
are going to present themselves? Now, is that just a shot at the Patriots? Does he not like this opportunity? Does he not comfortable with what that might be? I don't know. I think it's a dangerous game to play.
Yeah.
Because...
Or does that show maybe the Patriots' destination isn't as hot as we think?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a way you could read it. Because if you look at Minnesota... They lose Kirk Cousins and then do a great job with Sam Darnold. So there's like there's a positive upswing the last couple of weeks aside. It petered out at the end, but still, they got a lot out of Sam Darnold. What if J.J. McCarthy isn't, you know, any great shakes next year?
Yeah.
The bloom could be off O'Connell. The bloom could be off my guy Wes Phillips, Josh McCown, anybody who's there. So
Josh McCown interviewed with the Jets today, by the way. They interviewed literally everybody who's ever touched the football in their life. But, yeah, they did Josh McCown to be the head
for
coach.
For head coach.
For head coach, yes.
Okay. So he thinks coordinator jobs are just beneath him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good for you. Good luck. Whatever.
Good luck out there. Josh McCown, by the way, looks like Drago a little bit. There's pictures of him where he looks like Ivan Drago. Or who's the guy who played him? What's his name?
Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren. He does have a little bit of a Dolph Lundgren thing going on here, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and he's kind of always had that. I don't know, like, this is, I give all the credit to O'Connell. I'm not ready to assume O'Connell is McVay.
Mm.
Like, what are the chances that O'Connell breaks free from McVay, where everybody who comes off McVay or a lot of people that come off McVay are good? What's the chances that Kevin O'Connell, everybody he has touch with, becomes great?
Yeah.
Seems not likely to me.
No, but eventually the next round of coaching trees and all that, you know, that's going to bear some fruit here.
Right.
And we'll see who all these guys are. I don't know if O'Connell's going to be one of them. But, you know, right now the McVay-Shanahan thing, those are young guys, and they have their trees. So it's like it's going to be a while before their underlings start sprouting their own trees. These guys are still in their 30s and 40s, right?
Yeah, but people don't seem to care.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's like fast track it. Well, I mean, McVay is like 38 now, and it feels like he's been around forever. He was the youngest coach in the league forever until Mayo overtook that crown last year, and that didn't work out. So
no.
is he back to being the youngest guy? Is McVay the youngest coach in the NFL right now?
I don't know.
Okay, good talk.
I have no idea. I don't know how old Callahan, I think, is pretty young, right? Or the new guy in Tennessee and Seattle. I think both of those guys are pretty young.
Sean McVay was too.
Looks like Mike McDonald has taken that crown.
McDonald,
this year.
Seattle. That's what I thought. All right, 617-779-7937. One final time. Let's go to our friend Steve in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
How are you guys?
Good.
I was transitioning to listening and picking up the call. I picked my call up. I think you missed somebody important in the 96 draft.
Uh huh.
Aftermath. Did you say they signed Adam Vinatieri and then
Yeah, but that's not a draft.
Yeah, he didn't draft him.
It was a draft.
We're talking about who they drafted. They didn't draft him.
Draft.
Okay.
Thanks for the call,
Good
Steve.
Talk, Steve.
That I don't know what the hell that was.
Call ever from Steve.
It was.
I didn't even get angry.
It was succinct.
Yeah.
It asked a question that was not a good question because we were talking about players who were drafted, so Vinatieri had nothing to do with that. And then he didn't respond, and that was it.
It was like that old Can You Hear Me Now commercial. We can't, and we love it.
Yeah. Anyway, Steve, we'll miss you, buddy.
Thank you, cell phone.
So there you go. 617. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. You want to get out of this, Patriots? You can spend money in free agency, and I hope you do. I really hope you do. I hope you sign some tackles. I hope you sign some wideouts. I even hope you signed a running back, you know, and there's not a lot of good ones out there this year. It's not like last year. Last year was a running back. That was a great free agency class of running backs. This year, not so much. You got Harris. You got Aaron Jones. You got Jones's old backup. What's his name from, he's not in Minnesota anymore, Madison.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got a couple other guys out there, but really, all the money you want to spend, you can spend it. But you got to draft your way out of this. That's the only way. It's the only way to ensure that you're not going to be down here bottom feeding again for the rest of the time. And already, I think in the last two drafts, at the very least, you've gotten hits at the top of it. You got to keep doing that. And you got to get some more down below those picks as well, because you haven't done much of that lately either. But it's doable. It's possible. I just wonder if Mike Vrabel and Elliot Wolf and Cowden and Groh and the rest of those guys, that brain trust, I wonder if they're up for the task. We'll see, I guess. 617-779-7937. We'll break a little earlier because it is time to decide who's the dumber one between you and me. A final quiz.
Who's a negative? Who's the smarter one?
No. We're going to find out who's dumber. That's true. That is the final quiz with Stiz coming your way right after Dan Ball gets you caught up on what's trending.